Okay, we are back. Hope all of you are ready to go. If you refresh that page, you're all set. Okay, we're looking after the... how many steaks did you eat down there, by the way?
Let's see, two of them, two different days, at the one very nice place in Puerto Madero, at a place called something to do with lilacs, and one there, two at Julian's.
You had two at Julian's?
Yeah, two at Julian's, two different days.
We never know. All right.
Yeah, they were so good. All of them, both restaurants.
My father used to eat a lot of beef, too. We once tried to calculate how many entire cows he had eaten during his life. We had a picture of him in the field surrounded by cattle as a joke. He liked beef.
We also had some beef during the asado, which we'll hit shortly.
All right. Number 10. That's a beautiful building, and let's go. That's fun. Who's in the picture, by the way?
Oh, the guy in the blue jacket is my friend Martin. He's our guide down there. This is a place. It's spelled LLAO-LLAO, and it's pronounced Xiao Xiao. I have no idea how you get to that, but that's what it is, Xiao Xiao. And you have to be staying there, or you don't get in the front gate, or you have to know somebody who works there. This place was built.
Is a gate. There's a guarded gate, so to speak, and you don't get in there.
Yeah, you betcha.
Well, that's a five-star place, all right.
Wow. Oh, it's one of the world's finest resort hotels, without question. And not only my opinion, but I mean, they got some kind of ranking system, and they got the plaque and everything that says they're one of the world's finest resorts. Wow. It was built with German money. They started at 1938. There was a fire during the construction. It was finished in 1939. And this is the place of mystery. 1960, during his administration, President Eisenhower was here. During his administration, Jimmy Carter was here.
At Xiao. Now, why would these presidents go to the Hotel Xiao Xiao?
I don't know. But also,
well, we have a pretty good guess.
Yeah. I do too. And Bill Clinton was here during his administration. Barack Obama was here during his administration. John Kerry was here during his term as Secretary of State. We're closing in on we know the reason, but not for release yet at this time.
Right. I'm on the same page. I agree with that.
Right.
Now let's go to
10A.
Number 10A, which is inside this magnificent structure.
It's incredible, this place. It's fantastic. 10A, 10B, that's one of the long hallways. Obviously, it's a long hallway.
I have a magnifying glass. A lot of you probably do, too. If you don't have one, get one. Just a 5X, about 5 inches in diameter. You can get them on Amazon. Get them at your local department store, too. But it makes crawling into pictures a lot more fun. You can get right back in there. And the furniture in there, look at the sofas and the tables.
Everything.
It's all gorgeous.
Nothing is second rate. It's all top of the line. 10 Charlie is the main staircase from the check-in. The counter as you come in, you come down this and you're into one of the dining rooms. And thanks to Roger Mick for all these photos. I tell everybody on the tours, please send me, you know, your photos right away. And they always do, but never in time to get them posted. I'm posting these up on our website fairly soon, too. We're sending them out in the daily hot mails. But Roger got his photos to me quickly, so here they are.
Just going back to 10A real quickly, look at the massive timbers.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
This place is all done with wood timber construction. It looks really fantastic in the photos, but it's nothing compared to when you're actually there.
Wow. All right. It just 10C coming down there.
Yeah, coming down the main staircase.
They could have the Miss Argentina pageant there, it looks like, doesn't it?
Well, they could have a lot of stuff there because it's awesome. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Lucilla, I hope you're listening because I'm praising your place.
We're all stunned. I always ask for more pictures of Xiao Xiao from Harry.
Yep.
More pictures. So we got these 10A, B, C, D, et cetera.
And E.
An extra E. Look at that 10D. Look at that magnificent corridor.
Yep.
Wow. Just amazing. All right. 10E. Look at 10E.
The dining area.
I can't look at the ceiling. Look at the timbers.
Yep.
Look at the elegance.
Elegance, that's a good way to put it, because it is elegant to the max. And here's a little preview of
the
coming attractions.
The white linen on there. Yep. Look at that. Just extraordinary.
Nothing
What's the
is
woman's
second
name?
Rate here.
What's the lady's name?
Lucilla.
Down there. What is it?
Lucilla.
Lucilla. Lucilla?
It means the bringer of light. And if you
How
click
you
on
say,
number 11,
yeah. there she is.
That's my pal Lucilla. I've known her from 2008. She was in customer guest relations. She's now the big kahuna, the chief.
Good.
So maybe we will be staying at Xiao Xiao next year for 4 nights.
In the Obama suite.
No, not
God
Obama.
God forbid.
Actually, none of those people that were there are worth a damn in my mind. Eisenhower, Carter,
now you,
Clinton.
You're not alone. I'm right there.
Yeah.
No
now,
chance.
If there had been a Ronald Reagan area or a Donald Trump, okay, I'd stay there. But you'll see the guest cottage where we stayed on in Elko. That was fine for me. I don't want to stay anywhere where any one of those four people were. Or Kerry, counting him, number 5.
Yeah. All right. Number 12 looks like a something after 9/11.
This was a very important strategic point. This was a bunker on a point of land. Excuse me, my chocolate milk is wearing off. My throat's getting there. Any boats headed towards Inalco, where Hitler lived, had to pass this point or another point. We don't have photos of the other point. That's the famous Saracen Tower, which is on private property, and you can't go there or you'll get arrested. We almost did last time I was there. And the caretaker told Martine, "We must leave. Please don't make him become a violent man." So, okay, fine. I don't want that guy to get violent. So anyhow, this is one of the observation points. Any boats coming by from this direction had to pass this bunker, which probably housed a company of soldiers, I'm guessing, not for combat, but primarily just for observation. Anybody coming by there would be reported to the main house. Hitler moved out in 1955 because that's when Peron, his protector, got knocked out of power, and so he went elsewhere. And in 1960, this place was blown up by the Argentine army as an exercise. I don't know why they would do that. I would think they would keep it there so they could use it to practice urban assault drills, but what do I know? It was the Argentine army.
Sounds politically motivated to me.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I didn't want to say that.
I did. That's why I'm here. There was, imagine on this Lake Nahuili, there's they have a big inlet, right, like a finger that goes up into the forests. And on each
right.
side of the finger were these two observation posts, let's be charitable, That's one of them that was blown up. The bunker was on one side. On the other side was a... How tall was the tower, the round watchtower?
Not round, it's square.
Square?
Off top of my head, I think it's like about six stories high.
60
again,
feet,
housing
70 feet,
for,
yeah,
whatever. Housing perhaps a company. It's on a cliff. Housing perhaps a company. You'd have bunk areas. You'd have dining, cooking areas, and then at the very top you have observation post. We've got photos of that on our website on sharkhunters.com under previous tours. The time I got to within 30 feet of it on the property, and that's when the caretaker realized what I was doing, and he told Martine he does not want to become a violent man. And we agree, we don't want him to get violent either, because the police are very close.
You were feeding the guard dogs Milk-Bone dog biscuits, and the guy got
no,
pissed
we were,
off, right?
We were playing. We were playing. That was it. Martine was engaging this guy in conversation, and these two big guard dogs came over to play. They brought a soccer ball, so I kept kicking the soccer ball, and the more I kicked it, the closer it just happened to come to the Saracen Tower. And I had a snapshot camera in one hand and a video camera in the other hand, and they're going like mad. And then I hear Martine yelling, "Hurry, hurry." I said, "What?" He says, "He knows what we are doing. We must go." He said, "He does not wish to become a violent man." I said, "Okay, I don't want him to get violent either," so we leave.
That's funny. I wonder who, somebody who owns the property hired him to be there, I guess.
That's correct, and he was doing his job in a haphazard way. However, we have now developed a contact, and next year we will be allowed to go in the Saracen Tower.
Wow. Good job.
Yep. Hey,
totally
we open
amazing.
The doors there with Shark Hunters.
You always do. That you got that key. Shark Hunters
yep.
key. No
yep.
lock can withstand the Shark Hunters key.
Unless there's a guy with a loaded gun. Then we go yeah. somewhere else.
All right. Numeral 13.
Yep.
That's Bariloche, huh?
That's in Bariloche, and you see the bell, and I'm told the Spanish word for bell is campana. I don't know, I'm not Spanish-speaking, but this was the Hotel Campana, which was run by a guy named Reinhard Kopp, who went by, he was an SS officer, and he went by the pseudonym of Juan Mahler, and when Sam Donaldson, you know, the guy with the fiberglass hair, when he came down there... He was interviewing, or he was seeking Reinhard Kopp because he was a former SS officer. And when he got a hold of him, Kopp says, "No, no, you don't want to talk to me. There's a much bigger fish over there." And that was Erich Priebke. And
he ratted out another guy so he would be left alone. Is that it?
That's correct. Yeah. And I was supposed to meet with his grandson when I was in Munich a couple of months ago, but we never got together. His grandson is a professional snowboard instructor there in the Alps. But
that's
we
a big
never
ski
got together.
Area.
Sure.
That's what happened in the early 50s also. Tourism began to be a problem for security there.
Sure.
When they moved in 45, there was nobody around.
Nobody. You ain't kidding. It gave new meaning to the word desolation. Man, it was the whole town of Bariloche was about two blocks long or so, and a big cathedral, and probably had maybe 200 people. Now it's well over 100,000 people. It stretches for several miles. It's a gigantic tourist attraction for the fishing in the summertime or the skiing in the wintertime. Otto Scorzini and Hans Ulrich Rudel were skiing in these mountains. We've seen pictures of them.
Amazing.
Can't imagine why they were skiing there. Well, we know why they were skiing there.
Yeah. Well, they would all go visit the residence of Inalco in that beautiful home. And they'd have formal dinners and they'd talk. And a lot of things going on there. A lot of visitors, a lot of guests. When you see more pictures down the road here, you'll understand. This was a self-contained community.
Yeah.
In the most beautiful area you could imagine. Raised their own food, all completely contained. And the who's who of the German government would visit this man and his wife.
Yep.
I'm sure he had a fairly steady stream of formal dinners, walks on the shoreline and all of that. They had racehorses there. They had
yep.
a starting gate for 3 racehorses. So they were raising thoroughbreds, among other things.
Yep.
Well, you'll see pictures, so hang on. Don't look ahead. Just stay with us. Number 13. No, don't do that. Nobody would do that.
I'm going out to the kitchen and get some more chocolate milk.
Yeah, you want to wait 6 minutes or you want to need to go? Go ahead.
Okay. Whatever you say, I'll be here when you're here.
All right, number 14.
14.
That
is the Rosa House.
Yeah.
It now today is a yoga retreat, but back in the 40s and 50s, this is a place where Bormann and Priebke and Mengele and Eichmann used to meet, and maybe also
mm-hmm.
number 18. That's not, you know, you're not supposed to say 88 in Germany now, because 8 is the 8th letter of the alphabet. H is the 8th letter, and it's HH, which means, to them, Heil Hitler. To me, it means Happy
Come
Harry.
On. Come
no,
on.
I'm not kidding. You start sounding off 88.
But
now we found,
yeah.
when I was there in September, October, 18 is now also a bad thing, because the first letter is A, and the 8th letter is H. So we refer to him as number 18 now. So,
wow.
Incidentally, we found, and we can get into details on it later if you want to, but we have found that Hitler had gone out to other major places around southern South America for various meetings and dinners, etc. But that's in a book we'll be coming up with fairly soon.
Yeah. Some amazing things. I'm sure it'll be illustrated. You got photos of these places.
Yep. You betcha.
All right. Number 15.
15.
Now, there's another. Look at that Bavarian architecture.
Right. We're in the town square, and everything around it on 3 sides is that kind of architecture. The 4th side, of course, is Lake whatever you call it, Nahuahuapi. This is the town square, and the day we happened to be there, there were several hundred kids with their bicycles all learning bicycle safety.
Cute.
And
I see they have an ambulance standing by, or what looks like an
ambulance. That's a fire truck. That's a fire truck. And every time you turn around, some kid is on there blowing the siren. But they like it. When you were a kid, you used to play with fire trucks, too.
Well, I played with my Uncle Scrooge comic books.
Good old Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. All right, number 16. That is that, it couldn't be.
I don't know.
Is that Robert E. Lee? No.
No, that's General Rocha. But the gang in our group said he looks just like a Confederate general. General Rocha, down there in Patagonia, if you were a German, Italian, whatever, who had thousands and thousands of acres of property for, you know, that the Argentine government gave away around 1905 for some years to bring in business and bring in farming, ranching, etc. So if you had several thousand acres and these pesky Indians were on your reservation, General Rocha would bring the troops and just annihilate them all. Didn't even bother going to war with them, just killed them all. And so the rancher had
Taming the Wild West.
Yeah, that's one way to do it, you know, just go kill a lot of people. It worked fine for the guy who owned the plantation, but the guy who got killed, it was not such a hot setup.
Unless he worked for the guy who owned the plantation.
No,
had a lot of local labor, I'm sure. Okay.
I think they just killed everybody they could.
All right. It's too bad it wasn't Robert E. Lee, but all right.
I'm sorry.
Next, Refugio.
Yep. Number 17.
Club Andino Bariloche, number 17.
Right. Andino means Club of the Andes. This was on the retreat called the Berghof, which just means a gentleman's mountain cottage, I think, built by a guy named Otto Mehling. Neat guy. He came there in the 30s, built his own cabin, climbed the mountain with the board strapped to him, because there were no roads or nothing. He built his own little cabin, which is where I'm sitting. And he also built an outbuilding guest house type of thing. He also dug his own grave, in which he's buried right now. I don't think he handled his own funeral, but he was already.
Not usually.
No.
You're up at that. That's the location of his the place he built, where you are?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Up How did you get there?
Well, there's a road now, if you want to call
that,
it
but
a
I
road.
Mean, is this outside Bariloche?
Yes, it's in the mountains outside Bariloche. And, it, you know, there's a road, if you want to call it that. Just beat the hell out of you. It's all gravel and rocks.
Look at that. And then the background is Lake Nahuawipi. Right
close,
there.
Nahuawipi.
Oh, I'm zeroing in on
it. You're getting there.
All right.
And this is where he built spy posts all around the lake before the war.
Spying on whom?
Maybe they knew something was going to happen.
Maybe they did. All right. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen, and we will be right back. Much
time for more chocolate milk.
Go get it. All right. Back in a minute. Chocolate milk and carry on with our tour.
Yep.
How do you make your chocolate milk? We used to make it with regular milk and put Hershey's dark chocolate syrup in it. Mix
That's
it up.
Exactly what I just did.
Wow.
Great
that's real
think
chocolate
alike.
Milk. Yeah.
Yep, that's real chocolate milk.
Good job.
And
okay.
About my second or third glass of it so far this evening. I try to, very hard to drink around the sugar part. I don't drink the sugar.
That's clever. But,
yeah.
That's good. You screen out the sugar in your teeth.
Yeah. Oh, I work hard at it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I bet you do. Okay, Harry. Let's see. Where are we? We're at
number 18.
Number 18, which is the view out of the window, but you're not looking through the window. And that white stuff is not beach sand. That is volcanic ash.
Yep.
Which is slowly moving toward Lake it's moving toward the lake.
Yep.
Thank you.
That's,
and look at those little islands on there. Just overgrown with brush and trees and beauty. Look, everywhere you look.
We call them the twins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very nice.
And that's Yeah, that's what everybody saw out the front of the house. We'll see the window view in a little bit. I checked. We've got it up there.
Yeah, I got it. We added that. So make sure you reload the page.
This is a top-notch operation we got going here.
Now, remember also that ground you see before time and then the volcanic ash, that was a lawn. This is groomed, manicured grounds. Gorgeous.
It was beautiful. But then on 4 June 2011, the Chilean volcano named El Tronador, the Thunderer, blew up and really made a mess out of a lot of stuff. But the caretaker is working hard to get rid of it. He's He's scooping it up, and there's truckloads going out all the time.
All right, Maestro, number 19. Here's the money.
Come after
the money
number 18.
Usually, but you never
know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. That's it. You see the smoke coming out of the chimney? That's because the caretaker sleeps in there. He's got a cot right next to the fireplace. Serious primitive living, but not much more need for fire down there because they're coming into summertime.
That's the home. That's the home. Now, the home is structurally fine. They built it to last, 100 years. It's built.
It's pretty solid.
It's built in the best kind of German timber architecture structurally you can do. The volcanic ash took a toll on it. It discolored it and so forth. But that house could be restored to the magnificence that it enjoyed in the 1940s and 50s. When the occupants left in 1955, they may have left in a hurry, we don't know. A lot of things used to be there, but they're gone. It's a home that should be purchased, restored, kept up to its glorious stature, as should the rest of the property be. And when you look behind the house, figure about a half a mile away, up the slope, is a major two-lane highway now, which was built all the way around Lake
Nahuapi.
Yeah,
and it goes all the way to
Chile.
It goes all the way to Chile.
So there, look at that house. Is that beautiful? Look straight ahead. Look off to the right of Harry, and you'll see those three major windows. That's the living room, and the dining room. And next to that window, there was a breakfast table. We'll call it. And a solid oak table with two leaves and chairs, and that's where the man and the lady would sit and eat most of the time. The big formal dining table obviously was in serious use much of the time, but they'd sit by that window and look out at that view and enjoy it. I don't think he read the morning newspaper, but if you want to do just for fun, imagine that every day looking on that beautiful lawn that used to be beautiful and looking out and having visitors come all the time. They'd come by boat. They'd come in the early days by, float plane.
Right. Seaplanes.
Yeah.
We have pictures of them seaplanes somewhere. I was going to put them up on there. I can't find the damn things. I got so many photographs and so many files. We got almost 200,000 photos on the computer.
Go into some of our past programs. I think our two or three programs ago, we showed some of them. Okay, number 19. That's the
number
money
19.
Shot. Just remember, there's Harry. And if it weren't for Harry Cooper, that place would probably still not be known much at all now, except for the locals. They knew all of it about it. But Harry, in his book, Hitler in Argentina, it's on the cover of the book. And if you have ever read a book about World War II history, especially post-World War II, that's the book. Now, he has another one coming out that's going to it'll be the equal of that one and in some ways more astounding. So that's coming soon. Keep that in mind. Let's go on to number 20 now. There's
number 20.
Inside. That's the main room, the big fireplace, the living room. Off to the left is that view window that we'll be seeing soon that looked out over that lawn and looked at the twins. Right now there's just some folding lawn furniture in there.
And
but
if
again,
you look
at
to the left
the
up against the wall, that's the cot that the security guy sleeps on.
Uh-huh.
And his jacket is hanging
nook.
On the wall.
Yeah. And his AK-47 is in there, so don't get any ideas.
I prefer a 12-gauge.
Yeah, well, whatever he's got is going to do the job. Look at the timbers. I want to show you again. And think back to the Xiao Xiao Hotel, the heavy timbers. This is European. I guess it's Bavarian. But whatever the style is, it's built to last. That's why this house could be, cosmetically, it needs to be water blasted, pressure washed, completely prepped, stained with hundreds of gallons of Olympic stain. Water-based stain is better. And the roof treated, and it'll last forever. And this could be a major tourist attraction. Guided tours.
True.
He lived here longer in this house than he did in the Berghof, I think.
Could be. I don't know. But if one of our ultra wealthy members would buy this place, we would have no trouble getting tradesmen. We've got plenty of members in Shark Hunters, electricians, woodworkers, stonemasons. We could have volunteers go down there and have this place back in running order in no time, except coming up with the money. It depends on which report you read, anywhere from $25 million to $40 million or 35 million euros. But it ain't cheap.
I think 20 million cash would buy it. They're not getting flooded with offers. Here's the deal.
No, it's been for sale for a long time.
That's the point. It's a buyer's market. If anyone is listening and is very wealthy, and there are people who listen who are very wealthy. They're billionaires, some of them.
Yep.
This is something. This is 1,180 acres. 1,160 acres.
Whatever.
A gorgeous, gorgeous property with a two-lane highway that would access it, no problem. It's historic. History is oozing everywhere on this. I just wish that somebody would get it and hold on. I'd consider moving down there and living in it. I would.
Had a dream. How are you going to get there? You won't fly.
Boats.
Okay. It'd be a long way by paddle canoe.
No, I'd rent a container and live in it while we were going down there.
Well, it's okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
19A. Look at the timbers. That place, Harry, that place is never going to fall down.
We hope not.
It just needs to be taken care of. They built that house. The Mercedes family built this home originally, mm-hmm. right? I think it was finished in 42, 43. Was that it, you think?
Towards the end of the war.
Yeah, okay. They knew things weren't going well by Stalingrad, and I think the Mercedes family was making plans just in case.
Incidentally, the designer of this house was also the guy who designed Xiao Xiao and also the Saracen Tower, a guy named Bustillo.
I didn't know. Now, you told me that, and I'd forgotten. That answers the timber. Look at the timber construction.
Right.
Remember the Xiao Xiao?
Yep. It's solid. It's solid as hell.
All right. There's the fireplace on the left. You can't quite mm-hmm. see much, but just think of the people who used to come there and sit around the fireplace and talk. And talk and talk.
This place was also steam heated, had radiators, but the heating unit was not in the, well, there was one down in the cellar, which I guess is still there, but there was another little building outside that had the furnace in it and steam pipes coming into the house. That building is no longer there, but on our website, sharkhunters.com, previous tours, see some of the previous tours to Argentina, 2008, 2009. I had photos of that little house, but it's since gone away. I don't know where it went. Somebody took it, broke it down, whatever. It's gone. But that's also how they helped heat the house.
All right. Now, we're going to move into 19C. We got to make a little headway here. We got a lot of things to see. 19C,
yep.
Upstairs bedroom, am I guessing right?
No, that's on the first floor.
First
Still
floor
on the
bedroom.
First floor.
All right.
Old, yeah, the upstairs
wooden bed frame.
To my, this is a fairly new bed frame and a cheap-ass mattress. But upstairs, best of my recollection, there was nothing in there, not furniture, not nothing. The fixtures were in the bathrooms, of course, yeah, but no furniture of any kind.
Got it. Okay, number 19D, another fireplace, or multiple fireplaces.
Right. This is down the hallway from the main room, still on the first floor.
Uh-huh. Okay. Number 19E shows another couple more modernish bed frames.
Yeah, kind of used up. Looks like something you'd find on Skid Row.
Mm-hmm. I think they were just put in there for shark hunters to sleep on. They could. All right. Very good. 19 F?
F.
Again,
yep.
another look at the...
Same room.
Same room. Two closets. Who used those closets?
Guess, yeah, boy, that's a good question.
Staying in the house. Yeah. Okay, 19G. Bathroom in the big house. A downstairs bathroom.
Yep.
What's your guess? Those are not 1940s faucets, are they? You think?
I wouldn't think so. The knobs are more modern. I don't know if the sink was there or not, but who knows?
Did you ever get a picture of the master bathroom? The master bathroom.
I don't know. I think I did, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. Have another glass of chocolate milk. It'll come back to you.
This one has still got one third in it.
All right. 19H, coming up from downstairs and on up.
Right, I'm standing on the main floor, and right up above my head is what in that new book is called the Bridal Suite, which was actually where Hitler and Eva had their room. And it looked out over the lake also.
The nice thing about living next to water, I was very lucky. When I went to college at UC Santa Barbara, I lived on the edge, on the bluff, for nine years. And water, especially the ocean, never looks the same twice, virtually.
Mm-hmm.
It's always changing. Depends on the clouds above it, what it's reflecting, the sunlight, the moonlight. It's always, always changing. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to look out at. I can understand anyone and just enjoying the heck out of that place. Just amazing. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Number 19I.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new mattress on the floor. Who slept on that?
Yeah, it's high tech. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe it's where the caretaker or the guard, whatever you want to call him, maybe he flops there sometimes.
Well, he has a different mattress every night. Keep him
yeah, okay.
19J.
19J.
Two chairs circa 1910, obviously. Classic.
Yeah, that was Hitler and Eva Braun's chair, right? No, those are Kmart specials. Blue light specials.
All right. Left and now after 19...
Go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, left over from the film crew that was there when I was there last June. They had a film crew there the day before I was there, and they just left these plastic chairs all over the place.
Yeah. Well, they drove around on the highway and packed everything down there, or they might have taken a boat out there. I don't know. All right, the next picture...
They had some big trucks, and they had permission to be there.
Got it. All right, the next picture is the one I managed to... get my guy to put up. not even listed. It's not numbered. We just got to
put
it in.
Down at the bottom, it says 19K. You can't see it.
I see it. He's good. Yep. He did that on his own.
Yeah, bless his heart.
Yeah. He busts his ass. It's midnight down there now. Hell, no, it's 1 a.m. down there. Something like that.
It depends. Now, Argentina's 2 hours ahead of us. Brazil, I don't know. Brazil and Argentina are north-south of each other, and they should be on the same time zone, but they're not always. Sometimes they're an hour apart. Sometimes they're the same. Go
all
figure.
Right, now, check that view, and just remember that. Look at the snow-capped Alps in the distance. And there's
that's
Lake
Knott. That's not out the main room. That's off to the left. If you're standing there facing the lake, that's the room on the left.
Go back to number 19.
Yeah.
And that'll be the room to your right on the left, right? How is that? Good?
Yeah, that's correct. You see the three big windows.
And then the little
just
one.
Just to the right of it, just above the nine, that's the window you're looking out.
Ah. Okay. What about the next three further to the right as we look at the picture?
That's another small room that is in pretty shabby shape. That's where they were storing those doors and windows. You sent me the photo of the doors and windows being stored.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Now we're rolling on to number... That view is just gorgeous. Remember
yeah,
in 1945, the lawn was there, and Hitler and Eva Braun and their staff, and they had a hell of a staff. That remember, there was a fully functioning, there was a tiny little micro community there. That's what it was.
Yep.
Very safe, very secure. I imagine they had patrol boats going back and forth occasionally, and then they had the tower and the bunker, and they had security.
They had real good security.
Number 20. Next.
That is the little, it looks like hell right now because it's allowed to go to pot. There is a gorge that comes down this way, and it gets narrower and narrower, and below that building there's a very fast running creek. So they built this building over the creek, and there is a turbine wheel that goes down into the creek, and it turns a generator, and that powered the house.
Very smart. Very smart.
And, yeah. And in this new book I'm telling you about that I've told you about, that came from an SS officer's diary, he describes this exactly like it is. And then if you look on photo 21, there's the generator that's still in there.
Remarkable.
Yep.
There was a lot of planning that went into that house. And I
would
repeat
think so.
Again, the Mercedes family built it. They found something, and tell our listeners again what Grand Admiral Carl Dönitz said about it.
He said they had found an impregnable Shangri-La for the
Shangri-La.
Thrill. This was sometime in 1944.
And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number 22. Now, what that is, is very interesting. It looks like an old, dilapidated dock, which is what it is. But... what it was, well, tell them.
Well, that was the dock where boats would come up. Now, the seaplane ramp is off to our right. You'll see that in a moment. But the dock, boats would come up there, and people would get on and off. Also, they would bring supplies up from Bariloche, which is about, by today's boats, about a two-hour ride. I don't know how it took back in those days. They did not have the high-powered speedboats, I don't think, on the lake. I've seen pictures, and they had steamboats, not the big paddle-wheelers, but just steam-powered boats about 40, 50, 60 feet long. And they probably didn't make more than about 6 or 7 knots, so it was quite a hike to get up there.
How wide is Lake Knott?
Nahoawapi. I don't know. It's got fingers and projections all over the place. So it'd be hard to say how wide it is, but it is kind of a lengthy thing, and it's about 70 or 80 kilometers long with all these little side things.
Wow.
What so how wide is it? It depends on where you measure.
Well, you're talking 50 miles wide, maybe, something like that?
In some places, yeah.
Round numbers. There, you know,
in
there
some
must
places,
be,
maybe only 10.
Yeah. There must be, in the summertime, sailboats just making beautiful scenes.
I'm chuckling because I was skippering a sailboat there on this lake last week.
On the trip. Is your face recovered?
Oh, man, did I, you know, the bright sun in your face directly, then bouncing off the water, and then we had a hell of a stiff wind. We were sailing on just a double-reefed mainsail. He tried that, and it didn't work, so we were sailing on a one-third jib and making about 5 knots.
Wow.
Poor Martin's hat fell overboard. We tried to get it, but...
His hat?
His hat, yeah. I would say just let the damn thing go, but it was his favorite hat. So we tried to get it, but we had 2 to 3 foot seas running and a 30 or so knot wind. And
wow.
Didn't happen.
Kicking up a little.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's too bad. All right, we'll come back. We have a lot of pictures to race through here. We're going to move quickly in our next hour to make sure you get to see all of them.
We got a bunch of them.
We will forego the bottom of the hour break, but there's some remarkable things just ahead. Hope you're enjoying this. Harry and I will be right back. You bet.